We need to get our local view. Find his work on the cover of the sports pages of the Register Guard. Today's piece on finding peace when no one will let you have peace. Catch up online, registerguard.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Austin Meek. Austin, always appreciate you leading us off on a Tuesday. How are you?
I'm just trying to enjoy the dog days of summer. How about you, Steve?
I'm good. I want to start with some Duck football. I think the handwriting was on the wall with Darren Carrington. I saw that some folks that wrote into your paper were like, he's got to be gone. So in essence, Coach Tags had a chance to back up what he'd been saying. And I'm a big, it's not about getting it fast or first, but getting it right. How do you think the new coach handled this and his choice to dismiss one of his best players?
I think he got it right. I think it was really the only thing that he could do to be consistent with everything that he'd said leading up to this point. You know, when you're a first-year coach, you know, every first-year coach comes in talking about discipline, and Willie Taggart certainly did the same thing. And, in fact, he went as far as to say, you know, somebody's going to test me, and the first guy to do it is going to find out that I'm serious about this. So when you say that, you pretty much spelled out what's going to happen the first time somebody puts it to the test. Now, you'd probably rather it be the third-string linebacker or the backup punter who puts it to the test.
That's
the guy you'd really like to make an example out of, as opposed to your potential NFL draft pick number one wide receiver. But you don't get to choose. It's just you got to take whatever comes your way. This was a situation for Willie Taggart, had a choice to make with Darren Carrington. I think he made the right call by moving on.
Yeah, but if you're going to have to deal with a bad situation, and it is one of your best players, man, that sounds like it's a natural trickle-down effect. He cut DC, who's going to probably end up playing on Sundays. So like you said, your redshirt freshman fourth-string safety or backup holder, if you think you're going to step out of line and get away with it, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, that's the message that you'd hope that the team would take away from it. If you can cut a guy like Darren Carrington, then you can cut anybody. And I think that was one of the issues that came up last year, is when guys would get in trouble, there didn't seem to be a lot of accountability. So if I was that backup punter in the locker room last year, I'd look at the fact that guys have been getting in trouble just, you know, minor things here and there that there doesn't seem to be a lot of discipline for. And, well, if he can get away with it, then maybe I can get away with it too. I think that was one of the problems that Willie Taggart diagnosed when he came into this situation. And, yeah, cutting a guy like Darren Carrington, who would have been a big, big part of this team, has to send a message in that locker room.
Talking with Austin Meek, the Register Guard, you had a nice chat with John Canzano a few days ago. Many topics from the M's 4th of July Marathon, Oregon baseball. But I want to stick with football and Jim Leavitt, the new defensive coordinator in particular, because I didn't put two and two together. Leavitt coached for a few years at Kansas State, a program very near and dear to you. You got to cover. What could you kind of tell us about the relationship or maybe level of respect Coach Leavitt has for Bill Snyder? And Snyder retires. Is Leavitt maybe willing to step in?
Well, that's a really interesting question that a lot of people back in my neck of the woods have been talking about. What would happen if Bill Snyder retires? It's going to happen. It's pretty close. You know, Bill is, I believe, 77 or 78. He's had treatment for throat cancer in the off season. So as much as we all like to think he's immortal, he's not going to coach forever. And there's been speculation for years about who would take over for him. You know, the debate in Manhattan, Kansas, is whether it would be Bill Snyder's son, Sean, who has been on the staff for as long as Bill has been there.
Wow.
In fact, he's been there longer. He was on the staff for 3 years when Bill was retired before he came out of retirement. So Bill's choice has always been for his son to take over, but that has been a hard sell for a lot of other people outside the Snyder family. So it would be interesting to see if Bill Snyder does retire this year or a couple years down the road, would Jim Leavitt be one of the people they would consider? Especially because it's it's in Jim's contract at Oregon that he would not have to pay a buyout to go be the head coach at Kansas State. It's a pretty unique clause that was written into his contract. I guess just because Jim has such deep regard for Bill Snyder, has such an attachment to that place. It would be very interesting to see. Jim is a character. There would probably be some people adamantly for and against him getting the job there. But certainly he has a connection to that place, and that was sort of where he got his start. And I think Bill Snyder is one of the coaches he really admires.
Well, for years I told my bosses when Jeter retires, if they ask me to be the shortstop, I'm out of here. It just never materialized.
You got to keep it in the family.
Yep. You and John hit on the defense and its personnel, and a lot of the guys on that side of the ball remain from last year. So while most, self-included, are optimistic that they won't be a horror show at that level, safe to say, even with a passionate, successful guy like Leavitt, this is far from a just-add-water fix, and some obvious issues still exist.
Yeah, absolutely, and Jim Leavitt has said that himself. He did an interview with Ryan a few weeks ago, and you could tell he was trying to temper the expectations a little bit that, hey, I'm not a miracle worker here. Hopefully we'll get better, but this is not going to be an overnight thing. I just think personnel-wise on defense, they still have some holes. Troy Dye is a great player. He's a guy you can build around, but I don't see a lot around him, especially in that front seven, that's really going to scare you. Scott Pagano, the Clemson transfer, Henry Mondu, you can make a scenario where, if everything goes right, if Pagano comes in and is just a beast, and if these guys who maybe underachieved a little bit with the old staff, if Jim Leavitt can bring something out of them, you can make a scenario where they do get significantly better with the personnel they have. But just a lot that's going to have to go right. There's not going to be a lot of margin for error with the talent that they have on defense.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard. Let's go to hoops. Peyton Pritchard, he was actually on with us last week after getting back from Egypt in that FIBA tournament. Just he and Keith Smith are left from who played against North Carolina. You covered him in Sunday's paper, chatted with him. Considering this sudden burden he shoulders, what did he have to say about how important, or like you said, how much of a dress rehearsal maybe that event was for him?
Yeah, it's kind of the same deal, right? He basically went into a situation where he didn't know his teammates. They were starting from scratch, and they had a few weeks to put together a team and go compete. Not so different from what they're going to do here in a couple weeks when he gets on campus. Now, the difference is with the FIBA tournament, it is literally like a matter of weeks that all these guys from around the country come together and they have to become a team. A little more time when you're talking about a college team. They'll get together this summer. They'll start to work on the chemistry. And so by the time practice starts in the fall, they'll have had some time to get familiar with each other. But really, it's going to feel like starting from scratch, though. Peyton said really only one of these guys he's even played with before in some open gyms and stuff last year. So it's a completely different team, and Peyton Pritchard is really the last link. He's the guy that has experience, and there's going to be a lot on his shoulders. He's only a sophomore, but he's going to be the veteran on this team, and I think the most important guy in the gym when they get together here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's patience. So today's article, you hit on something I say this year, this time of year. It's a downtime, especially if you're in a big college town, and while like you and I and a lot of others love MLB, but on the whole, I feel like I actually work harder for topics now than, even during football season. I'll work 6 days a week, 10, 12 hours on a Saturday, but it's kind of easy because it does itself. So The way you put it, so you find the quiet serenity, or maybe in a way requiring more effort to fill the void.
Yeah, I think you phrased that well. That was sort of the idea that I was going for, and you're probably the perfect person to talk to about this because I only got to write 3 columns a week. You got to do this every day. So how do you do it? How do you come up with something fresh to talk about every day in the summer when there's nothing going on?
Well, I've got two guys here, and we have conversations that you wouldn't believe, some not suited for air. We check out the latest hashtag, you know, whatever stories are going on. Suddenly we'll be talking about Pac-12 running backs. Like I said, when the NBA finals end, it's like, man, now I got to work for a living. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, no, that's the thing I was trying to explain, and I don't know if it totally came through, but you can identify with it. It feels like this should be a really relaxing time of year because there's not a lot going on, and so much of the year when you live in a college town is so hectic with so many different sports. But it doesn't feel that relaxing to me because, yeah, it's just a constant struggle of, you know, what do we talk about this time of year that could be interesting and engaging for people? And what I finally came up with is, you know, sometimes it's okay to say, there's just not that much going on right now. You know, take a little break from sport. Do something else. You know, find some other way to relax and unwind, and it'll all be here when you get back. Yeah, the football season is coming. It's going to be here very soon. But right now, it's okay just to say, you know what, there's not a whole lot going on in the world of sports.
Well, some people don't do well in serenity. I always think of that scene in My Cousin Vinny when Joe Pesci got arrested for contempt and he couldn't sleep in the Alabama quiet. And Marissa Tomei was like, I'll bail you out. He's going, no, I'll sleep better here.
Serenity now. That's what I always tell myself. But I'm not very good at that either. I'm definitely one of those people where if it's too quiet or there's not something going on, then I get a little nervous. I get a little fidgety. So that's what I'm going through right now.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, you actually wrote that, you know, maybe we'll get enjoy the Oregon outdoors. I mean, I play golf, so that helps me along during summer. So to coin a phrase, your theory of becoming an Oregon outdoorsman, how's that working out?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but it's not going so well. I started with the best of intentions. I had this really long list, and readers were awesome. They sent me so many great suggestions of places to go and things to do in the great outdoors. But I have to be honest and say, so far, I'm not doing very well with it. And I'm trying to be publicly accountable on this. So maybe it will force me to do better in the little time that I have left this summer, because I really do want to do it. I there's so much in this wonderful state that I have not experienced yet, and I really think I'll enjoy it. It's just, you know, it's hard because it's hard to explain, but sports have become just such a 24/7 thing. There's always something to think about. There's always something going on, and you get so habituated to it that it's hard to turn it off. You know, it's hard to just take 2 weeks and say, hey, whatever happens, I don't care. You know, it's hard to check out from it. So I'm hoping that here in the next few weeks, I'll get a little chance to do that, even just for a weekend, maybe go over to Central Oregon or get down to Crater Lake, because I need to do this stuff. It's such an amazing place here, and there's so much of it that I haven't seen yet.
Sanity's sake. Final thought, some MLB. So today, as they start play, you got the Angels, Rangers, Royals, Mariners, Twins, and Yankees spread out by 3 games. Now, it's because they're all pretty mediocre, but from a pure fan point of view, especially with your team in there, it seems like, I don't care how good they are, this should make for a pretty fun ride, and especially, like we were saying, something to pay attention to now.
Yeah, no, baseball is the thing that gets me through the summer, trust me. If I didn't have the Royals, I'd really go crazy. And fortunately, after such a terrible start, they've now gotten back to where they're actually entertaining to watch again. And I do think this wild card is going to be interesting down to the last week of the season, just because there's not a lot of separation there. I mean, even in the division, you know, in the AL Central, the Indians went to the World Series last year and were supposed to be, you know, one of the favorites to get back this year, but they haven't run away with this thing. There's really two teams, the Dodgers and the Astros, who seem to be a cut above everybody else, and then the other teams, you kind of throw them in a hat and pick one out. So the parity does make it entertaining. It gives you something to watch. I'm hoping that the Royals hang around there and at least keep it interesting for the rest of the season. And I think they will, Because, like I said, I don't see any team in that group that's really going to separate itself.
No, and we thank them for it. Catch all he's up to in the Register Guard sports section, registerguard.com online, on Twitter, at AustinMeekRG. Always fun, Austin. Thanks so much. You have a great rest of your week.
All right, you too, Steve. Thanks.
Take it easy.